We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror.
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Thank you, Lee. And of course, thank you, subscribers on the Substack Split Zone Duo feed. Different Q&A format this week, which means neither me nor Alex will be giving you parenting advice, dad tips, pseudo therapy on the couch type thing. This is not a single wing. This is not a double wing even.
No parenting advice, because I'm not sure that we would be qualified. We do have one in here for the end about planning a bachelor party and giving the best man speech.
Oh, I got that in there.
I mean, we'll give you advice on the things we can. It's just neither of us has the varied life experiences of our senior co-host, Stephen Godfrey. So our wheelhouse is more limited, but it is robust, Richard. I mean, absolutely. The wheelhouse is powerful, just small. So we'll take your questions. I want to start with one that is in that is relevant to news this week. Got a question from Ian C. Rumors are that Neil Brown will get an extension today at West Virginia. This was asked on Tuesday, March 5th. What has West Virginia done to deserve the last decade? Neil Brown has indeed gotten that extension. It has been announced by the school. But I have good news for you, West Virginia fans, and anybody else who's interested in financial engineering and college football. This extension, the verdict is in. It is fake. Did you hear me bang on that glass table? That was the gavel. This is a fake extension that Neil Brown is getting at West Virginia. And of course, longtime listeners will know, what do we mean by fake extension? His deal was going to run through 2026. Now it runs through 2027. And the percentage of the contract that comprises the buyout drops from 100% to 75%. So it barely raises what they would have to pay him if they fired him. And it gives him a bit of cover on the recruiting trail for anybody who might be asking questions like, if I sign with you, will you actually be there? If I commit to play for you, will you actually be my coach? Kudos to Ren Baker, West Virginia's athletic director. This is it's a very good fake extension. It says absolutely nothing about whether Neil Brown will be West Virginia's coach beyond 2024, like nothing. I think the odds of that have moved maybe like 1% upward, maybe 2%.
I don't
not much.
Think that's the read at all on his, like that was a very impressive year for them last year.
Oh, it was a great year. But, no, I agree. It was a great year, but the extension is just, I mean, it's marketing to
so
me.
So the extension effectively just to, the extension effectively gives him a raise now or now-ish and removes the buy or lessens the buyout, I should say, later. Basically, what they did, and we talked about a version of this with Eli Drinkwitz a couple of years ago, it's like an NFL, like it's like an NFL contract salary cap restructure, right? You borrow from what's owed later to guarantee it now.
Also, notably, lowers his buyout to leave if they have another good year, for instance, and he gets another offer. Think that's always interesting to keep track of as well. When these extensions happen, what is the buyout if the coach leaves, as well as the buyout if the school fires him? Question from JF. You guys spoke recently about the dangers of private equity getting involved in college football, but I don't really understand the mechanism that could even allow them to get involved to the degree that they could, for example, cut non-revenue sports or cut back on facilities. How would private equity take that much control of a public university athletic department? Oh, yeah. It isn't like you can buy stock in Oregon State football.
Well, remember, what we need to define what Florida State theoretically, not even theoretically, what Florida
FSU,
State,
by the way, is the school considering, is the school that is kind of at the tip of this. That yeah. might actually entertain private equity investment. Yeah.
So what Florida State would be using private equity to do is actually a little more straightforward than it usually is, right? If Split Zone Duo LLC was to take private equity money, right, as a small startup company, we would be taking it with the hopes that we expand or we add 10 new shows or we hire a bunch of staff. You know what I mean? Like the concept, the common things that some that a company takes private equity for. Florida State's a little bit different because Florida State would be taking private equity money essentially to hit a very specific number now. It's essentially a while it is also a loan from private equity in theory, it's more of a loan to pay a very specific debt, which is the $500 million or whatever the hell it's going to be, to get out of the grant of rights. It's not necessarily because Florida State like wants to expand as a business or expand as a brand or expand as an athletic department in ways that are not that are a little bit more ethereal. Like, this is pretty nailed on specific why they want this money. And sort of the mechanism, the vehicle is they've got a couple people on the board of trustees who are PE folks.
I understand Florida State just wants money to be able to get out of the ACC. And that's what they're thinking about. It's a narrow case. But I think JF's question is still a good one. And I still want to answer about my worries about private equity in college sports more broadly. And I think this is, you know, Florida State may not be the perfect example, but I think it's still an entry point. So, you know, how could private equity or some other institutional investor get its teeth so deep into college football or college sports that they could do damage and really hurt the enterprise? Say that you're, you know, private equity, your venture capital, whatever, and you invest in State U's football program, won't even say FSU, but State U, and you invest in actually the athletic department, and you know you form a new co, a new company, you are officially in business as private equity with this athletic department. Your investment in that athletic department or its new business entity, however they structure it, effectively puts a price on what that entity, that athletic department, is worth. You know, if you give State U $100 million and you get a 10% stake, then congratulations. That's now a $1 billion athletic department. There aren't many that are that big, probably, you know, maybe Texas, but you get the idea. Your equity investment sets a value on what this athletic department, this athletic thing is now worth. But then 2 years go by and you're a private equity guy, you're used to getting returns. And those returns aren't there. They're not showing up. And State U's private equity people are getting pretty annoyed about this. Can the private equity guys then say, the fourth quarterback on the depth chart, you're laid off because we need to see better returns. We need to see a better bottom line. Can they say, hey, swimming team, you're gone? Probably not. Like, they probably have not gotten control of the board to be able to decide who gets fired and what teams get cut and things of that nature. But what they can do at a certain point is decide that they are done doing this, that they are no longer interested in owning a piece of State U's athletic department or whatever. And then they can sell their stake. And maybe they sell that stake for less than they bought it. And for them, that's a bet that didn't work out. That's a write down. It's frustrating, but they place a lot of bets. They move on. But the problem for State U is that they're no longer a $1 billion entity, even though they're now officially for profit and they need to, you know, they're looking to make money. They're now worth less. So if they need to go out and fundraise again by selling more of themselves to some other equity investor, they're not going to be able to get as much money without giving up more of the stake of their own thing, more of the equity. Or maybe the private equity people sell the stake because they, maybe when they're sick of this, they sell the stake to an entity that this public university's athletic department doesn't want to be in business with. I don't know. Pick your sovereign wealth fund of an unsavory regime, or pick your fossil fuel industry thing that your students are going to protest in the streets about. So no, like the private equity types who might get into college sports, it's not as simple as they get to call the plays now, or they get to lay off athletes and cut back on facilities. But when you take people's money, you are in very significant ways beholden to them, even if they don't have control of your business. Richard, I've seen that in digital media enough times to know that I don't want it to happen to college sports personally.
Yeah, and remember, some of it's soft power and soft influence and yada, yada, yada. Some of it's not, hey, cut that team. Some of it's, hey, you need to shave off XYZ, and you make it seem like it's the athletic department's idea, for instance.